The following show contains explicit content.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus, a podcast about things and stuff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What time is it?
It's late, sir.
I don't know what time of the day it is anymore.
Late on Friday.
That's right. Chatty Wampus episode 11, not live.
Not live. And unfortunately, a lot of the shit in June's not going to be live either.
Yeah.
I was looking at my Outlook today.
Yeah.
And I put, not only do I put my work, I put every like task I have on my Outlook as an appointment almost. It's not like I have a time to do it, but I put them on there just to remind myself.
Right.
I also do that with any of my extracurricular things. So a concert I'm going to or an appointment I need to make, whatever, I put it on my Outlook so I know how my day is going to be structured.
Right.
So I'm looking at June because I'm trying to prepare for June. The first three weekends, I got shit to do.
Really?
Yeah. On this first one, I'm going to a friend's house to watch a fight. The next one, I'm going to be in Jersey camping. Then the next one, I don't even know. I'm doing something else, too. It's ridiculous.
Don't we have a concert?
Is that the next weekend's Gaslight. I'm like, wow. So I feel really bad because June is just, it's... Actually, okay, so no, there will be one live show between now and a plethora of non-live shows.
Is that next week?
Will be next week's one, exactly, yeah.
In theory,
don't fuck it up, Jack. I'm going to be here. I don't know, because I'm going to be here. I'm going to make every effort to be here, to be live, but this is just crazy. I'm like, where are my weekends going?
Well, I took, now that my job actually grants me paid time off, I took a bunch of days. Instead of just taking like one straight vacation, I took the equivalent of a vacation spread out over 2 months. So it's basically
that's
like,
awesome, though.
Yeah.
To do it that way.
Yeah. Sporadic weekend days here and there. Like this weekend, all right, the reason why the show's not live is because Kate and I are going to be at Boston Calling for Saturday and Sunday. And this is the first weekend I've had off. Like, actual weekend that I've had off in, I don't even know how long.
Yeah.
My weekends from work are Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yes.
Saturday and Sundays. I was hired essentially to be the guy that's at work.
You're the weekend guy.
Exactly. Which I like because there's no traffic. It's tranquil. There's like two or three other people there. It's awesome.
Another plus would be if you have errands to run that you want to save for your quote-unquote weekend.
Right.
Everything's open at a regular time. You know, you can go to the bank and don't have to be up at the ass crack of dawn to make it to the bank before they close because they close at like 8 in the morning. It's ridiculous.
On Saturdays.
Yep. They're not even open on Sundays. They don't give a fuck.
My father, when I was younger, and my father was in, you know, old school, teach my son the value of a dollar mode. He would wake me up Saturday mornings, go down to the bank before they closed at like 11 o'clock. And this is back when, you know, back in school, we had to wake up at like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So, and we didn't have jobs back then. Waking up anytime after 9 a.m. on the weekends, you had to cherish that. It was the only time of the week where I could sleep in. And I hated it when he would wake me up and be like, no, we got to go to the bank because they're going to close.
But, like, what the fuck? What did you have to do at the bank? Honestly, were your finances that critical at whatever age you were?
No, not really.
No, I didn't think so.
It was my father trying to instill money-saving techniques into me at the tender age of 8.
Yeah, it's really going to sink in at 8.
Yeah, I didn't care.
The you're just mad.
Yeah, the most I ever dealt with money was the lunch line, you know? That was it.
And even then, it's not your money, so you don't even really give shit.
Exactly. I had Sundays off from work for a very brief amount of time, and I hated it. I was happy to have like an actual weekend day off. I almost kind of felt like I was everyone else, but then I realized everyone else has Sundays off. So I tried going out, like I went out to lunch one day with someone and it was packed.
Yeah.
And I was so used to doing this on like a, because, you know, everyone else I know has, you know, they don't have Tuesdays and Wednesdays off. So if it's like a rare occasion, I can find someone that's actually around to do stuff during the day on a Tuesday or Wednesday. You go into like a restaurant, like if I go out with my father or something like that, it's a ghost town.
Yeah, because everyone's working.
But you go at that same time on a Sunday, though, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't
matter.
Good
luck finding a table.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what time it is. Everyone's out on the road. If you got stuff to do, everyone else has stuff to do. So part of me kind of wishes I was like everyone else and had that 9-to-5 Monday through Friday gig. But at the same time, oh my God, I love just going. If I need to go down the street to CVS on like a Wednesday afternoon, in and out.
Straight shot.
In and out.
Have you also noticed that on a Saturday or a Sunday, if you need to drive anywhere, for some reason, people look at the speed limit and will do 5-10 below it for no fucking reason.
Oh, yeah.
Other than to not get where they want to go.
Sunday drivers, man.
But if it's the weekday, everyone's got shit to do, everyone's got a place to be, but the weekend, once the day starts with an S.
Yeah.
It goes crazy, and no one needs to be anywhere. I don't understand it.
We go from not obeying the speed limit to just being like...
To, again, not obeying the speed limit.
Well, it depends, because a fraction of our population will do that, and then the other fraction will be either drunk or hungover.
I conform to the latter group.
Well, like the last episode of Chatty Wumpus we did, Nicole and I were, well, at least I was hungover.
That was a rough day.
Yeah, it was the recovery day after a long night of
alcohol
obliteration.
It was awesome.
And part of me was like really pumped that now that I actually have like a 9-to-5 schedule, being able to go out on a Friday night and go out with my friends and just like right from work and not have to be that guy that shows up at like 11 o'clock at night. But the other part of me regrets this decision because I still have to go to work Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And it's extremely bad form. Now, I got like my bosses are awesome. I never call out unless I am legitimately sick. The only times I've actually really called out was when I was in the hospital for a week.
Which is understandable.
Exactly. So I never fuck around with that stuff.
Yeah.
However, if I call my boss early on a Saturday morning and tell her I'm not coming in, the first thing that's going to cross her mind, and it could be due to all the drunken Facebook posts I did the night before, is that I'm hungover and unable to work. There was that night that I left your place before we moved in together. Hungover, trashed. I think I was probably still drunk when I woke up.
I think you were.
Right, and it was like the day I volunteered to go into work at like 9 o'clock in the morning instead of my usual 2 p.m. And I didn't even make it. I made it 3 hours before I told my boss I needed to go home because I wasn't feeling good. And this is back when I wouldn't get paid for any of that time off. And I had some like special floating time accrued, and she was like, do you want to use some of that? I'm like, no, I am not. that I am punishing myself for leaving right now by taking a pay cut for the day, taking the 32 hours instead of the 40 for the week. I'm not rewarding myself by using paid time off to go home because I was hungover. That's bad form. You just don't do that.
Once you get more into just like a regular work schedule, you realize that you're able to kind of negotiate your leave time. That's your time.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah. Oh, I want to be like that guy that just banks all of my time off to the point where they tell me you need to take this amount of time off, because one of my coworkers did that. He hit the cap, which for him was like some ridiculous amount of hours. It was like 4 weeks or something like that. So instead of just taking like a bunch of vacations, he took like one day. He only had to work like a 3 or 4 day work week every week for 2 months.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like Monday to Wednesday, and that was it. And Thursday, Friday, he would use vacation time.
I should correct myself. That's awesome for him.
Yeah.
Because of his week. But that actually looks bad on you, too, I've noticed, because the way my work is, as of June 1st, I believe, you need to use, if you have over a certain number of hours, you need to use X amount of hours before September or something, or else you lose it. You don't get it anymore. You lose it. Now, this guy kept banking it, never took it. He is then, you know, kind of hindering the company.
Yeah.
By only working, 3-4 days for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see people being happy about that. Granted, I'm not a manager. I don't run shit. I don't really know, but it seems like it's almost irresponsible in a way, because you're not keeping track of your shit.
I took 2 weeks off last year. One, it was when I went to Vegas, and the other one, it was just my boss came up to me and she said, you should probably take a week off at some point. So,
don't come into work.
Exactly. So there was a week in October. It was like early October. I took the whole week off. And then when she asked me what I was doing, I'm like, well, I don't know. I just don't want to come into work for a week. And she was like, kind of give me a weird look. And I'm like, you told me to do
you
this.
You said I should not come to work. So I did what you told me.
Right. I'm like, so I'm using the time I've saved up. And for this week, I am just not going to come into work and expect to get paid for it because I'm an asshole.
This is how this works, right?
Yeah.
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Your thing is I would love to just be able to just take a straight month off from work, you know?
If I
had that time, just take...
That's not good. That's not good to keep business going. It's not.
They won't even notice I'm gone.
I mean, I suppose in some positions, you know, it's rough if you take a couple days in a row off, you know, like at least in my department, because everyone, it's such a small department that I'm in that everyone's got a super vital role and every day something important's happening. And a lot of the time you can't switch those days, really. Yeah. You can't do one responsibility on a Tuesday if it's supposed to be done on a Monday. It's just not how things go. And you know, I was even worried about taking a Friday and the next Monday off, because Friday and Mondays are my busiest days.
Right.
And I'm still thinking, like, how the fuck am I going to do this? I don't know, but I'll figure it out.
I think my coworkers can function just fine without me.
Yeah,
I don't worry when I take time off. That's the thing, because nothing falls back on me. That's why. There might be some things that, like, if there is anything that does fall back on me, it's because it was something I should have taken care of before I left.
Yeah, and something you left undone whatever.
And it's either I just forgot or I was fully aware of it and decided I could just deal with it when I get back. And, well, at that point, mentally prepare myself to get chewed out for waiting so long to take care of it.
Don't get yourself in trouble to be lazy.
Nah.
I'm on Steam a lot of the time when you're at work, and you're just playing fucking video games. Do your work, brah.
Well, I work for a video game company.
Great, but that doesn't mean you play video games for your job. You are not QA. Touché.
I work for a video game company.
All right, anyway, so enough about talking about calendars and work.
Yeah.
What's on the agenda for today?
I don't know. I was actually planning on talking about calendars.
Really? That's kind of boring.
We could talk about stocks.
I was actually just watching a documentary for a little while because I thought Jack was going to be home a lot sooner. And now, whatever. So now we're doing the show. And so I was sitting around watching a documentary. And I think we had talked about it before, the 75-year-old woman who had a baby inside her for almost 50 years.
Oh,
the baby had calcified.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I was watching the documentary on this. I can't remember if we talked about it during Chatty Wumpus or Talk Radio Meltdown, but basically there was this woman in Morocco, I think.
Yeah.
Where she went to the doctors because she was having really severe abdominal pain. So they're running these tests. They're sending her to specialists. They're doing scans. Turns out she's got this huge mass in her belly, and they're having a hard time figuring out what it is. It's a huge white blob.
Right.
And so when they did an extra, like, good quality scan, they found out it was a baby. They're like, how the fuck is this lady pregnant? And so then I actually was able to hear a little bit of the backstory through this documentary, because I'm thinking, how the hell do you live with a pregnancy for 46 years?
Yeah.
This documentary is about, it's either called, I think it's called atopic pregnancies, where you get, where when the egg is fertilized, it doesn't make it all the way down to the uterus. It attaches to the fallopian tube.
Ectopic.
Ectopic?
Ectopic. Like, think
ectopic.
Think ecto cooler.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God.
Ectopic pregnancy. So those are really dangerous because, as you know, your fallopian tube is not where you're supposed to be carrying a baby. They can rupture. The woman can bleed to death. It's awful.
Yeah.
So what had happened in, like, the 50s, this lady was having severe pain. She thought she was going into labor. Went to the doctors. They're like, all right, you're not having this baby. We need to do a cesarean. Back then, the C-sections were almost always fatal.
Yeah.
She's in Morocco. I don't know about Morocco, and I might sound really ignorant right now, but I don't think in the 50s they were in any shape to be doing C-sections. So she had witnessed another lady dying in childbirth, mm-hmm. and she was so scared, she went home. She left. And she was bleeding, and she felt horrible. And then she had felt the baby move around a lot, and then the baby stopped. And there was this, like, legend about how a baby could fall asleep, and after a while, it would wake up and everything would be okay. So she believed it. She thought that this was what was happening to her baby. So she adopted. Her adopted kids had kids. Years and years pass. 50 fucking years pass.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. So basically what had happened with this woman was that she had an ectopic pregnancy. And somehow, she didn't bleed to death when her fallopian tube ruptured, which is what happens when your fallopian tube ruptures.
You die.
You die of blood loss.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. The baby formed outside of, like, it formed inside her abdominal cavity. Like, just within her organs.
Yeah.
And had fused itself somehow into her blood supply through her, like, bladder, through her just other organs. It fused itself to her organs and stayed alive. She was ready to have the baby, but the baby wasn't coming out because it wasn't in her uterus.
Yeah.
It couldn't have gone out at all. So the baby was moving around because it was suffocating and died. There was another woman in England who I'm just watching now. She was due to have twins, and then she got, like, in a lot of pain, and they found a triplet, which was fused through her, I think it was, I can't remember what organs it was exactly, but it was, again, an ectopic pregnancy where it was growing in her abdominal cavity, fused itself to her organs, and was thriving. Like, my mind is blown right now.
Was it one of three?
These one of three.
Okay.
Two were fine. They were where they needed to be.
Did they just not know there's a third one?
They didn't know there was a third one for a while.
That's like the, you know, like the evil twin that no one knows about that's locked away, you know?
And then it could potentially kill everyone because, because she thought she was miscarrying because she was bleeding and she was in so much pain. So she kept going to doctors and, you know, she wasn't with her husband. That one time they did an ultrasound. They're like, nah, you've got triplets. So she went to her husband and she's like, honey, you need to sit down. We need to talk about this. He's like, oh my God, you've lost the babies. Oh my God, oh my God. She's like, no, we're having three. Now, they find out that the baby's not where it needs to be and that at any moment she could die because the baby is so big at this point, it could just rupture. She could bleed within minutes, just bleed out. Everyone's dead. So I haven't gotten to the C-section yet, but the chances of her surviving were like 1 in 60 million.
Jesus.
But she's on this documentary, so she lived.
Sounds like an episode of ER.
This is just crazy. Like, I can't even. But I am so just interested in this because these are things that kill people.
Yeah.
People die of this. This is one of your worst fears as a woman who's like, I'm going to have kids one day. Your tubes could burst. You could die. You could bleed out within minutes before you even get to the hospital. Oof. These women had babies fused to their organs. Like, and not the reproductive ones. Just random organs. The baby's thriving. Doing okay.
I got a couple of coworkers who are about 14 months pregnant at this point. Like, they could burst at any... In fact, actually, no.
14?
One just had the baby the other day. The other one, she is so pregnant. It's not even
14
funny.
Is not long at all. Do you know how long a pregnancy takes?
Did I say 14 weeks?
14 weeks, yes.
I meant to say 14 months. She's massive.
So she's pregnant with a toddler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they put it back in for a few extra months.
Yeah, it needed to cook a little longer.
I'm going to tell her not to listen to this show.
Yeah.
This particular episode, she's going to get petrified. When you mentioned that 82-year-old woman, when she went in and saw the ER woman getting the C-section, and she freaked out and left, this was my first thought.
Done.
I'm out.
I'm out, this bitch.
Can we actually play those clips from last night? Because I remember having a good show. I don't remember half the shit I said. If I could lick my asshole, I would. Oh. I also want cock.
I think this is the last one.
And no one's giving me cock, and I want it. I want it. I didn't realize that you had captured the asshole comment.
Oh, I had a lot of them written down. And at the very end of that Talk Radio Meltdown episode, too, 237, I think, that's what the episode was we did. At the very end, you were you yelled something. What did you yell, like cocks or something?
I yelled cock.
And it just, like, the processor... Because I cranked the music up to try to drown you guys out, and then you yelled. The processor somehow added this echo chamber effect to your voice. It sounded like you were yelling it down a hallway.
So that was, that episode was the cock episode, because I think I said that word 80 times.
This is what happens when you drink heavily.
Give or take. Yeah. I didn't even drink heavily. I had a, well, when I say a glass of wine, I mean a... Pitcher. Green plastic cup that I filled, like, if you went to go get juice, you know, and you fill it pretty generously, you're like, I got a cup of juice.
Yeah.
When you say I have a glass of wine, it's very little. It's like 5 ounces.
Yeah.
That's amateur hour. I fucking filled it like it was OJ. I drank it. So I had maybe 3 glasses of wine. But I wasn't trashed. I wasn't drunk. I was drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't trashed.
You were in the clouds.
I was having a good time.
Back to the, what you were just talking about, the, old woman there. I found an article from, ABC News about this. One minor correction. It wasn't Morocco. It was Colombia.
Colombia?
Yeah.
Unless, are you sure?
82-year-old woman?
No, this is a 75-year-old woman.
Oh, well, my mistake. This must just happen in, like, countries that aren't America, then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It happened in England.
Yeah. Okay. So the one I'm reading about happened in Colombia, or is the chick from Modern Family says it?
Colombia. Yeah, there was one woman from England and one from, I believe, Morocco.
Okay.
So maybe we were talking about a different story about the woman from Colombia.
I guess these are just so rare, though, because it mentions... it mentions this 82-year-old woman. She's from Colombia. They refer to it as a 40-year-old stone fetus, which if I was starting like a death metal band, like a gloom metal band, I would call it Stone Fetus.
That's the name.
That's a badass name.
It calcifies.
Yeah, there's actually a term for it. Lithopedion.
Lithopedion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's calcification, more or less?
Yep.
Is that the same thing that happens to mummies? Like, in those, not mummies that were made in Egypt, but you know how sometimes they find wicked old mummies of people in caves way up north? Like,
yeah.
they've found, I think, an 11-year-old girl who was sacrificed way back when, like, thousands of years ago. And her body was put in a cave, and through the miracles of just science, she was able to just be naturally mummified, like, perfectly preserved.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing, do you think? I mean, maybe it's different.
I don't know. I mean, the Lithopedion thing, that's the human body just kind of doing the calcification, you know? That's like, if the baby gets stuck into the fetus gets stuck in there, that's the human body's way of preserving it.
Rather than decomposing, because that would just be toxic.
Right. Well, I think the mummy that you're just talking about, that's just nature doing its work, and maybe just given the conditions.
It was the exact conditions that were able to make it mummified, because normally a body would just decompose. But now what completely baffles me is the fact that these women, their tubes burst. And somehow the bleeding stopped. It just stopped, which it doesn't happen. When you're hemorrhaging, you don't just stop, but they did. And the baby's just, like, chilling. Like, what the fuck? I don't understand.
What did the statistic here say? The rate of an abdominal pregnancy is about 1 in 10,000.
Those odds are scary. Yeah. Those are high odds for something that scary, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I think my dad worked with a woman who had one of those pregnancies, an ectopic pregnancy.
An ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But normally you find out pretty quick and you take care of it and you don't lose your fallopian tube, because I'm sure if it ruptures, I mean, I don't know if you can unrupture that.
Oh, here you go. It was Morocco. Zahara Aboutaleib.
Yeah.
Zahara Aboutaleib.
Yeah.
75 years old, from Grand Casablanca, Morocco. 2001 is when they removed the fetus from her. It had been in there for 46 years.
That is so crazy. I can't imagine anything taking 46 years. I'm 24.
Yeah.
46 years with a baby that turned into stone. Imagine how heavy that is. Think of the normal size of a baby. You know, they're kind of small. But now imagine that be, you know, a stone.
Yeah.
Carrying that in your soft innards.
Yeah.
And it's fused to your innards. How do you live?
The one you mentioned is considered the most documented case of this happening. The one I was talking about in Colombia was just discovered.
Okay.
It just made the news not even a year ago. In this woman's case, and they don't know her name, but it was in her for 40 years, giggity. She went to the doctor because she thought she had gastroenteritis.
I don't know what that is.
They did some x-rays and found
a baby.
Yep, calcified baby. Infectious, fucking Wikipedia, love it. Infectious diarrhea.
Oh. That sounds awful.
Or more commonly known as the stomach bug.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Infectious diarrhea.
The stomach bug is a lot nicer way.
That's my side project to my gloom metal band.
Infectious diarrhea?
Yeah, it's my side project of Stone Fetus.
Well, I think those two bands would have drastically different feels to them, moods to them, if you will. Yeah, you know, yeah. Stone Fetus is the gloom one, like you said. Infectious diarrhea needs to be hardcore. Be hard and, like, fast-paced.
I was thinking, like, elevator music.
That would just be amazing, actually. That would be great.
It's something to place on, like, bedtime magic at night.
And now, with Infectious Diarrhea, their new hit single.
I hope there's, like, a
Bloody Stool.
A musician named Prolapse, and he guests on that track.
Oh. Featuring Prolapse.
You should
Sasha Gray's favorite artist.
You should take that dude's job, the bedtime magic guy.
Bedtime magic?
Yeah, replace him. He's been around for like 100-something years. No, that's an exaggeration. He's been around for a long
that's
time.
That's a while.
But he's known for having a very, like, very deep, sultry voice.
I don't have a deep, sultry voice.
No, but hey, you could be the...
In a world. I actually watched that movie. That movie was really good, I thought.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And I love the part where the girl is talking, she's like, this Wednesday, one woman will teach another woman to sound a little less retarded.
You just mentioned Sasha Gray.
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, she's not a porn star anymore. She hasn't been a porn star for many years at this
really?
Point.
Really?
Yeah, I met her. She was the first celebrity I met working on The Morning Show. This is 2009. And she came in to promote a book, I think, that had just come out. And she had, I think...
Wait, she can read?
Oh, yeah. There was a big controversy about her going to an elementary school and reading to the kids, like just reading a children's
book. The kids don't know who she is.
Yeah, exactly. She's trying to establish a career that's separate from her.
Can we just stop right there for a second? Because that makes me really sad where, you know, this woman chooses a profession. You know, this is her profession. Yeah. And in a way, it's almost like public service because everyone watches porn.
Yeah.
Everybody. And if you don't, you're lying. Everyone watches porn. It's something that people do. And you need porn stars in order to have porn. So this woman takes this job and this is her career. And all of a sudden, she's like subhuman, can't be around kids, can't read to kids.
Yeah.
She's not spread eagle on the desk, you know, diddling herself. She's reading a book to kids who aren't going to know who she is for another decade, I bet.
Yeah.
And when they do, boner.
Well,
I don't know. I'm off my soapbox. But can you understand what I'm talking about?
No.
Like how that's sad, yeah. How she all of a sudden becomes subhuman because of her job?
It's, I mean, a lot of A lot of porn stars end up just, you know, at some point, you know, once they reach the age of like 25, they stop, they retire because they're no longer the, you know, 18-year-old barely legal breakout star that they were.
Porn careers for women are actually very, very short, right, and many are not successful.
And they usually just go on to like modeling or just something, like they kind of stay in the industry, but it's not necessarily doing porn. It's more softcore stuff or anything. Sasha Grey is like an example of someone who went on and is now like focusing on like being an author or doing like actual movies, like actual films.
Okay.
Like acting roles. Well, see, I follow her on Facebook and she's like, if you look at any of her pictures, they're just like run-of-the-mill modeling shots. Like there's no like sexy lingerie shots anywhere. It's just like, it's almost like she's modeling for like a clothing store. All right. So yesterday she posted, she took a screen cap from her iPhone of an Amber Alert, because you can get emergency notifications on your iPhone. So an Amber Alert went off in Los Angeles where she lives. So she posted the screen cap of it with all the details and like the car that was involved in everything.
That's a great idea to get it out even further.
Exactly. Except you look at the comments on the post and all of them have something to do with porn. It's from mostly Hispanic people because they're all in Spanish. All the comments are all in Spanish. They've all got like a C translation link next to it. And, you know, you can't make out any of the words except for Sasha and porno. And it's,
that's sad. that makes me sad, honestly, that, you know, that she can't go on and just be a public figure. Yes, she did porn, but that's not her life now.
Exactly.
That's not her entire being. Like, shit, she's trying to do something good. Send out an Amber Alert to the masses so that people can find someone. And they're like, oh, you're an asshole. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, like,
I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a few people that actually can speak English very well. They're commenting on this. They're saying, you know, the comments are in relation to the Amber Alert. You know, they actually make sense. And then you see all these other ones that it's all just gibberish, but it's just like, you're a porn star. I love you. Ja, 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 ja. Way, way, way.
Well, then again, that's why you're following her. You're not following her for her stellar writing abilities or her modeling.
Yeah.
You're following her because you liked watching her get fucked.
And it's hilarious because you see pictures of her just like wearing plain clothes and just being a normal person.
Yes, because she's a normal person. And like you are subscribing to this exact thing that I'm like, how is this so, like I can't imagine.
It's just, for me, it's like, okay, I'm so used to seeing you naked and getting plowed. I've never seen you clothed before.
But
I respect what she's doing now. I got nothing against it. I just love how no one else seems to respect it.
Yeah, I suppose. It's not easy for women. It's really not. And this, I'm going to go off on a rant. And I just think it's so sad.
Yeah.
I think it's so sad that she cannot be considered a normal human being.
She is very pretty, though.
Yeah.
Well, in this picture I have up, she's very pretty.
Well, you're very generous.
She's wearing a sweater, if that counts.
It doesn't matter what she's wearing.
All right. We got to take a break. We come back. There was a story about a fourth grade teacher that confided in her students for relationship advice.
Oh, God.
You can imagine how that ended.
Yeah, I bet.
We'll come back and talk about that.
I'm
gonna go to break.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I'm gonna play some Coheed.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly what Nicole asked me to do before the show. She said, Jack, how does my makeup look? Also play Coheed during the break. She's not even listening.
And I said, absolutely.
No, because you said you turned off my mic, so I got a little pissed off at you. So do whatever the fuck you want.
The mic is on.
Okay.
Daddy Wampus.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, but down, bow, down, wow, dilly, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Fallout Shelter.
the somewhat official store of Talk Radio Meltdown. The Fallout Shelter has a sweet selection of short and long sleeve shirts, perfect for the man or woman who enjoys wearing clothes and doesn't mind spending money to do so. For the cheaper man, we highly recommend the welfare tee. It's only $10. TalkRadioMeltdown.com/store. Buy a shirt today and adorn our beautiful yet minimalistic logo. TalkRadioMeltdown.com/store.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk. No one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can not sell it.
I got pink. It's all heroin. Yo, I got pink.
I almost said I got pink.
I'm gonna smell it. Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread. You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Featuring Jack Gill and Nicole Mossy.
We used to do this thing when I worked at AAF. It was called the Unforgiven game.
What?
This song it's playing right now is called The Unforgiven 2 by Metallica.
Ugh.
There's three of them. Three doesn't sound anything like this, but Unforgiven 1 and 2 start the exact same. So AAF would play both songs in heavy rotation. So anytime we would hear the start of the song, we would all go, 1, 2, 1, 1. No, it's 2, it's 2. And 1 is very slow and somber. 2 sounds like this. So if like 2 kicked in, you know, a couple of people would be like, "Oh," and everyone else would be like, "Yeah, 2. Fuck you." I still do it sometimes. It's always because you never know which one it's going to be. I hate Metallica.
I don't like it at all.
They released like a new song maybe a few weeks ago, and it was like 8 minutes long, and I'm like, I'm not listening to any of this. This is just not good. Just by default, it's Metallica needs to just write a 3 minute long song and be done with it.
They need to stop writing songs.
That's also a good. That's also a good point.
Cracked the code.
Guns N' Roses. We talked about this on Talk Radio Meltdown the other night, but Guns N' Roses are evidently denying their breakup. Radar Online, which is usually a very trusted source when it comes to these sorts of stories, said that Axl Rose wanted to retire and was gave the whole band like 3 weeks notice, and Guns N' Roses was going to be done. And I guess that's not the case. So I'm sad because I also hate Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what?
No, I don't. I
got confused. I'm sorry.
When I see a band that I don't like announce that they're breaking up, I get really, really happy because that means I don't have to suffer.
I just continue with not caring.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I still care. I want to be that one guy that still cares about, you know, music.
I care about music. I just, excuse me, Brianna. I care about music. I just, if there are some artists that I just do not care for their music. Like, if Adele just stopped making music altogether, I would care the same amount as I do now.
Yeah.
Which is not very much at all. Yeah. I don't care for her.
Me neither.
I don't care about her. I don't care for her.
I think she has her moments where she's hilarious. Like, I think she scolded, like, either Kanye or Chris Brown at some award ceremony a year or two ago.
They both need scolding, so.
But she scolded him as if she were their mother. And I think
she's young.
She is. She's very young. I mean, you know how old she is because she titles her albums based on her age at the time the album was recorded.
Does she?
Yep. Her first album, I think, was 18 or 19. I think that's what it's called. And the second album is called 21.
Oh.
And the one she's working on right now will likely be called 25 if it comes out this year.
Oh, shit. She's our age.
There she is.
I don't care for her.
Yep. She has her moments where she's got a sense of humor. You know, it's almost kind of like, you ever see like an interview like Jennifer Lawrence, and Jennifer Lawrence just doesn't hold back and just talks about like, she's like, oh, I farted. Or she's got like such a potty mouth. She's afraid to restrain herself. Adele is kind of like that, except then Adele starts doing her music thing, and it's, you have a completely different person.
Yeah.
You got that setting fire to the rain, somebody like you, whatever.
I don't.
I like that. I like that one Adele song. No, that wasn't her.
No.
No, you know what that was? The Terminator. That was also a movie.
Moving on.
There was this woman who was a substitute fourth grade teacher. And she apparently decided that she was going to just rant to the class that she was in charge of on this one particular day about a relationship that was not doing so well.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
And interject with a question?
Yeah.
Location, where is this happening?
New York.
New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Cassandre. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It looks like Cassandra, but it's not. It's Cassandre. Cassandre Fearing, an actress and substitute teacher. Apparently she
that's one hell of a resume.
She was doing the Betty and Veronica thing with Archie. Reverse though. She had two different guys that she was dating.
At the same time?
Yeah. And she was having issues with both of them, and I guess didn't know which one she wanted to go with, and chose the fourth grade class that she was substitute teaching as her sort of
deciding factor.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's worse than eating meeny miny mo.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Is that almost like considering them psychiatrists? You know, I don't know what the right word is, but just like someone that you have that one person you confide in for relationship advice. You know what I mean? Did you ever have like just a friend that you know, most of your conversations with them would just always be about relationships? And
no.
Really?
Really.
I had a couple people that I would do that with.
I don't really talk about those with people. Like, I'll mention, I'm like, oh, I'm dating this guy. Oh, this, we did this and whatever. But if I have issues, I internalize it. I do not. Unless it's after the fact where I'm like, I'll openly talk about Chris now and how much I just don't give a fuck about that douchebag. But, like, when I'm in the thick of it, no. Yeah. I do not. I don't.
Yeah.
I internalize it, and then I cry.
This article says here, investigators say she acted out scenarios in which the kids were her and she was the boyfriend's. She complained that the younger boyfriend, a mechanic in Rhode Island, didn't return her phone calls, according to the report. Students told investigators she called them her quote-unquote munchkins and asked her to toilet paper the mechanic's home. The report says Fearing hugged one student, tapped another on his shoulder, and touched the thighs of two other students.
Okay, because I was like,
yeah.
First of all, I don't understand why this is news, because this is just hilarious. But when she's touching thighs of students, then I've got an issue.
She's not even that attractive.
It doesn't matter, you know, her attractive level.
You know what she looks like? Because I got a picture right here. She looks like Molly Ringwald circa now. You ever see like a recent picture of Molly Ringwald?
She's aging. Yeah. She looks fine.
Yeah. Except this particular woman is young. she isn't exactly.
So is she getting in trouble for inappropriately touching her students?
She's just getting in trouble for the whole thing.
I don't understand why you're getting in trouble for the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It says the class eventually advised Fearing to break up with her younger, less responsive boyfriend, although she apparently ignored their advice.
Really? Because I thought that would be the wise decision. It's like, if he's not paying attention to you and not giving you what you want, break up with him.
I like how she confided in a group of 9-year-olds and then didn't end up following their advice.
Well,
like,
what I think is funny is that, one, she made a terrible decision by confiding in these children, but then, like, these children who shouldn't be making or shouldn't be expected to make a rational decision like that make the most clear choice.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, she was let go from her job. It doesn't say when she was let. December. December this past year. The investigation from the Department of Education simply concluded that she acted inappropriately.
And of course.
She's going to appeal this decision.
Listen, I had a life crisis, and I needed someone to talk to in this group of 9-year-olds. I swear, these were the most mature 9-year-olds.
According to her, all of the discussions she had with those kids were G-rated, and she wasn't talking about sex. She's making it very clear that she was not discussing sex with these kids.
Well, I can see that. I can see where, you know, if she's complaining, oh, he's not returning my phone calls, yada, yada, yada. But I don't understand the thigh touching. The thigh touching is what throws me. That's the one thing that I think is wrong with this. Because I've had awful substitute teachers. The substitute teachers just sit there and then the kids do nothing. Exactly. That's what a substitute is.
Yeah.
At least she's engaging the kids in something.
Yeah.
In something. Making a decision. Shit. The touching is where it crosses the line, I think. To be honest, that's me.
You remember, did you ever have, like, the substitute teacher that just so happened to have graduated from... This happened a lot in high school. Substitute teachers that just graduated, like, a year or two before.
Yes, and I don't understand how that happened, because how the hell, like, even if they're in, like, a teaching career, like, I had one girl, the girls who had come from South Africa... Remember those two girls? Yeah. One was in my grade, one was in your grade.
Yeah.
I can't remember their names right now. But the older one came in and subbed for one of my classes. And I'm like, first off, even if you're in
when
the teaching... When I was a senior.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've hung out with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how these people are allowed to go into a classroom and be a substitute teacher when there are actual teachers out there who need a job and can barely get a substitute teaching gig. I'm like, where are your fucking credentials? Granted, they're not teaching you anything, which is a shame and a waste of fucking time. But, you know, I don't understand it.
It's either family or just... some sort of connection they have that allows them to take this position.
I thought it was stupid.
Yeah. For me, it was just almost kind of getting angry at my classmates, because they would see these people come in that they were clearly friends with outside of school, and they would come in and they would be the substitute teacher for the day. And this is someone that might be 2 years ahead of us in graduation. So it's like some of the graduated in 05 and we're in the class of 07. We're juniors. They come in, they're a sub for the day. For me, it was just like, I understood that they were there because they were getting paid to do this. It was a job for them. And I was watching other people just fuck with them, because it's like, duh, you have to be professional. You can't be screwing around. And I was just like, dude, just let him do his fucking job. Like,
I think it's irresponsibility on both parties, on the substitute teacher for thinking they can do something like that in an environment where the kids know them. And I think it's terrible irresponsibility on the school's part, because that completely blurs the lines of the student-teacher relationship. There's supposed to be a divide, and you can't bring in kids that know other kids and expect good results.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
If anything, my only sign of disrespect towards these people, like, this one guy, Alex, he was a sub, and I had played in bands with him in the past, like, just for, like, you know, school battle of the bands and stuff. We'd shared a stage together. So the only instance where I could ever go up to someone who could be even close to be considered a teacher and refer to them as, hey, dude, can I go to the bathroom? You know, anyone else, any other teacher, they would be like, what did you say? And they would beat you with a ruler and send you to the principal's office for being extremely disrespectful.
Grafton was an interesting town.
Yeah. I actually posted something on Reddit today. I forget what the comment was in regards to, but it was something about how when I graduated high school and I was holding my diploma in hand, I went up and was talking to a couple teachers on the way out, but I made it a point to address them by their first names, knowing that, disrespectful, but at the same time, couldn't yell at me.
I don't think it's disrespectful at that point.
Yeah.
They're no longer, they were your teacher, but they're no longer your teacher. Yeah. And they're just an individual.
I'm that weirdo that's friends with a lot of
You are that weirdo.
Well, because on Facebook, I'm friends with a few of my old teachers, you know?
I know, and it's weird.
But, and it's, I still like, and I think it's just habit, I still refer to them as Mr. or Mrs. Like, and I try to make it a point, like, to, you know, address them by their first name, and it's almost sort of like a sign of maturity.
And another weird thing is when a teacher is young and ends up dating one of their students.
Okay, that's
it's
weird.
It's not a problem to me if it's in college.
Yeah.
Because if a 21-year-old meets a 30-year-old and they want to be in a relationship, yeah, that's a bit of an age gap.
Yeah.
But it's not so weird as, oh, I knew you when you were 16, let's bone.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. Yeah. Even if it's years after the fact, it's weird.
We had a few cases of that.
We had two that I know of.
Yeah. There's still one going strong right now, too.
Okay. It was the French teacher, right?
Yes.
The French teacher. And I don't know who that girl was. What year was she in?
09, I think.
Oh, she's near. Yeah, year below me.
Yeah.
The other one with the girl from the year below me didn't work out well.
Yeah.
For the teacher. That's so fucking weird.
Oh, you're 18? Well, let's go.
She wasn't.
Yeah, that's...
She wasn't. I was a senior. She was a junior, and she was running all over his class like she owned it. I was like, wow, this girl's got some balls. And then 2 years later, I find out from Katie that she's like, yeah, they're fucking. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
A little awkward.
A lot awkward. And I'm looking back at everything, and I'm like, really?
Yeah. See, like,
it was no wonder that during the open mic nights that was run by this teacher that this girl was always the centerpiece of and always singing with that Wyatt kid. And it was like their show. It was the Liza and Wyatt show.
We're going to start dropping names now.
Fuck it. I don't care. I didn't like them. Whatever.
I didn't say it. Wasn't me.
The Liza and Wyatt show.
Wasn't me. I did not say it.
Who cares?
See, I'm friends with my old teachers on Facebook. It's more for networking, if anything.
What, you're networking with them?
Yeah.
About what?
Job references.
Oh.
Yeah. I've used a couple of them. They've worked.
Really?
Yeah. I've got one of my professors from college. This is a guy that I always tell him, like, he's always asked me if I'll go watch his band play. And it's always in, like, it's in a part of Boston I don't want to go to.
Again,
so.
That's different, though. Yeah. With college, I can see it. Yeah. You're all at an adult level at that age, I think.
But even still, like, in high school, I mean, this wasn't the case for me, because I was 17 when I graduated, but I know a lot of people are 18, 19 years old and they graduated.
Yeah.
And there were teachers we had that were only a few years older than us. So you can understand there was camaraderie between those people that you wouldn't find with, you know, like an older teacher, you know? But I had some people that I still talk to this day if I run into them.
Like who?
You remember our old, I don't know if you ever had him, but he was one of the history teachers. Older guy. Always had girls around him.
He was amazing. Yeah. I loved him. He was so nice. And then I felt so sad because when I quit Stop and Shop, that meant I was never going to see him again.
Same here. Same here. But he's always friendly. He was. You could just have a conversation with the guy.
He was great.
And he was really attached to the kids.
He wasn't inappropriate.
It was because he went through like the worst divorce imaginable. He never saw his daughter ever. So he that was why he always had the girls around
him. I'm going to cry. Oh, my. That is so fucking sad.
He confided in the kids because that was his way of coping with it.
Oh, my God. And he was the nicest guy, and people would make these terrible jokes. He was never once inappropriate.
No, never.
He was just a huge sweetheart with a huge heart, and he was amazing. And one time I saw him on TV, and I was like, dude, I saw you on TV. He's like, oh, you saw that documentary? I was like, what the fuck are you doing on TV?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
For my birthday, and this was years after I was never his student. He was never my teacher. But I elected to go into his directed study because I didn't want to be in directed study with my ex-boyfriend.
That's homeroom.
Because we were supposed to be
homeroom.
Directed study was homeroom.
Yeah.
So I asked, and he's like, yeah, you can go in my class. So for 2 years, I did that because he was just awesome.
Yeah.
And so years later, I'm working at Stop and Shop. And he knew it was my birthday, came in, got me a huge, like, bag of chocolates, like, Lindt chocolates. And I'm like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, one, you knew my birthday.
Yeah.
Two, this is amazing chocolate. Like, yeah. You rock.
Yeah, my math teacher had her for 3 years in high school for three different classes. Got to the point senior year when I was told I had to take a geometry class I should have taken as a freshman and waited until I was a senior to take it. There was a choice of teachers I could pick, and I picked her because she was the only person that could successfully instill the concept of mathematics in my mind.
That's good, though.
I sucked at math until I had this lady, and she was really strict. She came down hard on people that didn't ever do their work, didn't focus. Everyone hated her because she was such a hard ass about stuff. And she was a hard ass. I was the one person that liked her because her teaching methods actually worked.
They worked. And the thing is, like, you didn't have to be great at math to gain her respect. If you tried, she'd give you something.
Exactly.
If you tried, she was so willing to work with you and try to, she'd switch it up, see what ways she could change her teaching to make sure that you get it, because that's all she wanted was for you to get it.
Yeah.
You know? I really liked her. She was great.
Yeah, her and I got along really well, and it ended up becoming like, we actually had like a friendship, you know, because we would always talk about stuff that wasn't related to school. And it was just, and it was because, like, I would get bored, like, during lunch, I would just wander and end up in her classroom. if she had the lunch period off, and we would just talk about stuff, like, just whatever, you know? And it didn't always have to be about school. And it was just, I honestly think I was one of the few people in that school that, like, she could actually have a normal conversation.
A human conversation.
I never saw her talking to any other teachers, you know? I never ever saw her conversing with any other teachers. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm all high and mighty and everything, but I think as far as, like...
No, you know, but friends, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, sort of like, the, you know, work friends, school friends. I think I was one of the few that she actually had, because she was, like, she looked, like, visibly distraught when I graduated.
Now, can we also do the flip side, though? Because I've noticed a lot of people within the school system develop relationships and get married. Like, why do people set their scopes so narrow?
I don't know.
Where you pick someone you work with and date and marry them. Like, I don't get it.
I couldn't.
And it's the most weird combinations, because I'm like, you tapped dat?
Yeah.
Like, what? I can't understand it. It's like, it's so weird to me. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It is what it is, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I got to cut this conversation short because we got to go.
Yeah, got to go.
Yeah.
I can finally make my Friday plans at 10 o'clock.
Oh, because, well, it's not 10 o'clock. It's a little after 9, and you got a 3-day weekend ahead of you.
Well, tonight is Friday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do shit.
Okay. Well, you've got tomorrow. You got Sunday.
No.
You've got Monday.
There's only one Friday in the weekend.
That's nice.
And I spent it watching a documentary about a stone baby and then talking about said documentary about a stone baby. That is my night. Ectopic pregnancies. The word for this episode is ectopic pregnancy. That's two words.
Ecto cooler.
Ecto baby.
All right. I'm not going to play the outro thing because, well, we don't really
fuck
have
it.
Time. So we'll talk to you next Friday, maybe. I don't know.
Talk Radio Meltdown
I feel like
from
I
4
give,
to 6.
I got to give everyone a week off at one point. We're talking about taking time off from things.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Give everyone a week off, man.
Fuck them. No. Teach me how to do this and I'll fucking run it. Nah. You can't.
Okay.
You can't just.
Okay.
Deny our listeners content.
I've never taught anyone. We can take time off if we need to.
I don't agree with this. We'll talk about this off air.
I have never taught anyone.
Fridays, 4 to 6, Talk Radio Meltdown on morelikeradio.com. Chatty Wumpus, Saturday nights, 8 to 9. Up next is Orange Room.
Yeah.
All right.
I have never taught anyone how to run this equipment.
Okay.
You could be the first person.
All right.
You could be the first person.
Orange Room is up next.
Hey, you texted
me. Enjoy it.
And asked where I was. I'll tell you where I am. Right here. Bye.